Hi, and welcome to
Love
It Is Finished
Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.O. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Tuesday, February the 16th of 2016. I pray that you're having a blessed, blessed week and that the remainder of your week continues to be blessed as well. Now, I'm doing a special quick broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, actually. And this is the free version. I hope to be able to afford the full version soon. So this is going to be an abbreviated version. Now, there's a lot that's been taking place in the news. But before you begin, before we begin today, I would like to invite you to visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can listen to previous ministry broadcasts. Or if you're not following me on Facebook, please subscribe to me on, like me on Facebook under K.L. Rich Ministries and subscribe to me on YouTube under Evangelist K.L. Rich. Now, there's a lot of things that's going on in the headlines, but one in particular I want to talk about is the death of the Supreme Court justice that seems like there is something going on, some foul play going on. I'm going to read you the article that I was planning on bringing to you yesterday. Supreme Court Justice Scalia dead at 79. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, the judicial standard bearer of the conservative movement and the court's most provocative member, died Saturday, and he was at the age of 79. His death means that President Obama could have an unprecedented chance to try to shift the balance of the court during his final year in office, setting up a Senate battle in the heat of an election year. Obama said he planned, quote, to fulfill my constitutional responsibility to nominate a successor in due time, unquote. The U.S. Marshals Service in Washington confirmed Scalia's death at a private residence in the Big Bend area of South Texas. The service spokeswoman, Donna Sellers, says that Scalia was retired for the evening and was found dead Saturday morning when he did not appear for breakfast. Quote, he was an extraordinary individual and jurist, admired and treasured by his colleagues, Chief Justice John Roberts said on behalf of the High Supreme Court and retired justices. We extend our deepest condolences to his wife, Maureen, and his family. Scalia used his keen intellect and missionary zeal in an unyielding attempt to move the court further to the right and get it to embrace his originalist view of judging after his 1986 appointment by President Ronald Reagan. Okay, so while we're discussing this, this is huge. Now, a lot of people coming out, oh, well, there's the conspiracy theorists. They're trying to say that he was possibly murdered. Well, let me backtrack and give you just bring you up to speed with what actually happened. Okay, first of all, due to reports, all Supreme Court justices are supposed to have bodyguards, just like the president has Secret Service. Why? Because they're so high up in office that people would want to do harm, blackmail, anything. So they're supposed to have, like, their own type of Secret Service. Well, supposedly, he declined having them be with him that particular evening. Now, why would a Supreme Court justice decline having his bodyguards to go with him? That sounds suspicious right there. And really, there's not supposed to be an option for them, just like the president can't tell Secret Service, oh, I don't want you around. No, I don't care if they have to walk behind or whatever. They have to guard him. So this is not really an option for a Supreme Court justice to say, oh, I don't want the bodyguards. And no, because he's of high importance that he has to be guarded 24/7. Okay, so how in the world was he able to even opt out? Now, that's a rumor that he was opt out based upon reports saying that they were given this information. Okay, second, they're saying that he said he was tired that night. He didn't feel good. Okay, this seems like stage up. Now, his family, according to reports, was supposed to have gone with him to this resort for that weekend. However, they wind up backing out. Okay, are there any questions as to was there a reason they backed out? What was the, you know, ask the question. What made them back out for that particular event for that evening? Okay, moving on. When he was found, and immediately there was reports saying no foul play. He died of natural causes. Well, how in the world do you know he died of natural causes if there was no autopsy done, which right away they were saying, oh, there's not going to be an autopsy. He's going to be embalmed right away, and there were reports that he would even be cremated. Well, once you cremate a person, you can't go back and get evidence. Okay, if you just signing off on, oh, he died of natural causes, how would you know he died of natural causes unless there's an investigation? Now, what has been said is that in this particular case, in the state of Texas, there is supposed to be an autopsy done, especially of a politician of this stature, okay? So just to say he died of natural causes, how do you know that? They call the judge over the phone. Oh, he died of natural causes, and then therefore no one, did they check the body? Did they find out, was there any evidence done? Any type of evidence? Did they secure the scene so they could see, was there anything with the camera? So how can you say that he died of natural causes? Now, the next thing that's been reported is that there was a pillow. So after this screen of, oh, he died of natural causes, then comes the person who found him saying that he had a pillow over his face. Now, that's very suspicious right there. People don't normally sleep with pillows over their faces, okay? So this man, this Supreme Court Justice, Justice Scalia, had a pillow over his face when he was found. That right there lets you know something is going wrong. Something is being hidden. Somebody, it seems like, had something to do with this man's death. Now, can we say that the government did it? Well, what reason would the government have to do it? Okay, especially we're talking about the Obama administration. Well, this justice was a very much a conservative, okay? He was appointed by President Reagan, who we know was a conservative for the most part. And TPP and all this stuff that's going on with Obama, trying to make all these new regulations when it comes to climate change and all these things, well, they're not exactly always going in the way direction that Obama wants it to go in. Just a few days ago, before Justice Scalia's death, he was blocked in the Supreme Court, and so they were going to go and they were going to reassess things, I believe, in June with regards to the things that Obama was bringing before them and trying to get passed. However, what this does is it changes, it shifts the balance, okay? So what does this mean for Obama? Obama, he wants to nominate a new Supreme Court justice. Mind you, most presidents that try to do this in their last year, there's normally a block because you don't want the last president in the last year to nominate for the next president before the next president get in. So the Republicans are threatening to block his nomination. Okay, will it happen? We will see. But Obama, he's claiming that he's going to use his constitutional right, his constitutional responsibility to ensure that another Supreme Court justice gets in. When has Obama ever followed the Constitution? He has trashed it. All of a sudden, he wants to obey his constitutional obligation to select a Supreme Court justice. Are you kidding me? Now there's reports that Loretta Lynch, the Lynch the witch, is one of his possible select these, his nominees, for that particular seat. Now, the thing is, if Loretta Lynch gets to be the Supreme Court justice, do you know what kind of trouble that Christians are going to be in? I mean, this is serious. This is huge. She has already threatened that anyone who goes against basically Islam and speaks against Islam, they're going to consider it a hate speech, and that the Department of Justice was going to prosecute. Now, she went back and kind of backtracked it to, because they won't know. Everyone started coming out about their Second Amendment rights, freedom of speech or whatever, which we don't have anymore. And so, therefore, she went, oh, well, you know, basically taken out of context. That wasn't what she really meant. No, she meant exactly what she said. And so, therefore, if this woman gets nominated to the Supreme Court, that means that anything that Obama wants to do in his last year of term, in his last term, he's going to get it done, which he's already getting done anyway, thanks to the Republicans not really doing anything at all. Even though they've had control of the House and Senate, they're not really doing anything. Okay? So this is dangerous. This is dangerous. This means that our Constitution, by this Muslim here, this Muslim president and this Loretta Lynch Muslim sympathizer and all, and I think she's Muslim herself, I don't know. But the thing is, Tushin, should Obama select anyone to fill this man's spot if the Republicans do not do their job to block this man? You might as well call it, hey, the Constitution is shredded. Now, he's pretty much shredded it, stomped on it, swallowed it, regurgitated it, did all kind of things, okay? So what are the options? The Republicans can block this nomination process, okay? They can do what they can to block it, all right? They can give him a hard time where it can't happen. That does mean that you're going to have almost a year where there will not be a Supreme Court justice to fill that seat. However, the flip side of that is if we were to have a Hillary win, well, you might as well give it up. It really don't matter at this point, does it? So if Hillary wins, it's not going to matter. If Obama selects, it's not going to matter. So, people, these are serious times that we are living in. And if you're having faith in the democratic process of the United States, please do not have your faith in the politicians. The politicians are no good. We do not, and I know people like Trump. I'm not endorsing anyone. Now, although Trump has said, you know, some things that, you know, he would change or whatever, and that, you know, sound kind of good and everything, but you know what? America is gone. America is not the America that it once used to be. America, it has gone down the tubes. And it's so sad because this was once a beautiful, lovely country that was founded. I know people say, oh, well, you know, there was a lot of things that was wrong in America, the slavery and all that. Yeah. That was wrong. I'm not saying that. But this country was founded by God. We did have biblical principles at one point where there was prayer in the schools and the people were supposedly God fearing. At least they recognized God. I mean, today the politicians don't even want to pray to God, let alone say Jesus. Okay, well, you got God being taken out of the military, the Ten Commandments taken out of the courtroom. There is so much that's, this land is just godless. God, and then even in the churches, there's godlessness in the churches. You know, a lot of these big churches are cesspools for sin. And we wonder, well, why is the United States in the shape that it's in? And, you know, people might get tired of me saying it, but you look at the church. Now, the church wants to always quote, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he will heal the land." Yes, but his people are not doing that. America is of a reprobate mind. And the thing is that God holds the leaders accountable. So therefore, when we as the body of Christ do not nominate godly leaders, then this is what the kind of mess that we have in office. As I said before, you have to be careful who you nominate as your, I don't care if it's your city councilman, I don't care if it's your mayor, I don't care if it's your senator. You have to be careful when you nominate these people, because when you nominate ungodly people and they rise up in their positions of authority, then you have like a president who is ungodly, and then he nominates a justice who's ungodly, and then you have the justices making ungodly laws for the nation, and then the nation receives the wrath of God. Okay? So it's a domino effect. So when you have Christians saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter who we vote for because there's a separation of church and state, who told you that? That is of the devil. That is the devil not wanting there to be a unity between the church and the state, okay? The church was supposed to, the state was supposed to stay out of the church, not the church stay out of the state. And I'm going to repeat that. The state was supposed to stay out of the affairs of the church, not the church stay out of the affairs of the state. We were always supposed to hold our politicians accountable. In the Bible, God always held the politicians accountable, the leaders, the kings, because as the kings did, the nation did. When you had godly kings in Israel, you had the nation follow godly ways. When you had corrupt kings in Israel, then you had the nation going corrupt. And God punished the kings. Why? Because they were the leaders. They were the ones supposed to be held accountable to God. They were supposed to be held accountable to make sure that the people were obedient to God. It wasn't just the priests. It wasn't just the prophets. The kings were held accountable. This is why Elijah went to King Ahab and told him of his wicked ways. That's why you had the prophet Nathan, who went to King David and told him of his error. Time and time again, God used prophets to rebuke kings, rebuke the leaders, to let them know that if you don't turn back to God, that there was going to be punishment. And America is going to be punished. America is already under judgment. It's just so many so blind they don't see it. Why don't they see it? Because they're in the Kardashians, they're in the latest reality shows, they're in all the gossip shows, your Wendy Williams or whoever's on these days. Life they think is going like normal, not knowing that we're almost on the verge of World War III. But as long as people like, as long as I got my television and my music and and it's sad because so many people in the church are oblivious to what is taking place in our society, in our world. But it's letting us know that Jesus is soon to return. Is letting us know that these are signs of the time, and unfortunately, many within the body of Christ are not going to wake up until all calamity just starts, everything just starts breaking loose, when we should be praying right now. We should be fasting, we should be studying, we should be preparing, because there's going to be a harvest of souls, and many souls are going to be, God's going to be saving souls even in judgment. And so many people feel like, oh, well, we're going to be raptured up out of here. We're not going to go through all these things. And you're going to have a big surprise. You're going to have a big surprise if you're believing that and you're not studying your word. You're going to go through some things. People get that scripture that God's wrath is not for us mixed up with you're not going to go through persecution. God's wrath is not for his people. It's not for his saints. However, God did not say that we won't go through persecution. And the Bible tells us quite the opposite. That, if you lay down your life, you will pick it back up. Those who try to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life will gain it. And we have to be ready. We have to know that in God, that we have, we're in Psalms 91, he is our hiding place. That means that even when we're going through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, he comforts me. He's our shepherd. He guides us. And a shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And how many shepherds are laying down their life for their sheep? Or how many shepherds is outside of the pen and they're trying to shepherd from outside the pen when you actually need to be inside the pen shepherding that way? Well, this is my time is almost up, and I will try to come back to you tomorrow for more news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And I pray that you accept Jesus into your heart. And I pray that if you are a fellow believer in Christ, that you not only be a hearer, but you be a doer of the word. Because God loves you, cares for you, and he sent his son down here to die for you, to die for me, to die for all of us. And he doesn't wish that any of us would be lost. And unfortunately, hell is expanding itself. You know, people are seeing all these sinkholes that's going everywhere, all these sinkholes. But God, he wants to save every last one of us. And I pray that you be saved. God bless you. This is your host, Evangelist K.O. Rich. We will be back on tomorrow for more news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And I pray that you make sure that your life is lined up with God, and make sure that the blood of Jesus is over your doorpost. So when all calamity take place and everyone's losing their head, you know that God has you covered. This is It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist Kale Rich. Until next time.